Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are considered materially powerful and rich are always full of anxieties because of governmental laws, thieves and rogues, enemies, family members, animals, birds, persons seeking charity, the inevitable time factor, and even their own selves. Thus, they are variably afraid. Purport. The word swasmat means from one's self. Because of attachment for money, the richest person is even afraid of himself. He fears that he may have locked his money in an unsafe manner or might have committed some mistake. Aside from government and its income tax and aside from thieves, even a rich man's own relatives are always thinking of how to take advantage of him and take away his money. Sometimes the relatives are described as swajanaka dasyu, which means rogues and thieves in the guise of relatives. Therefore, there is no need to accumulate wealth or unnecessarily endeavor for more and more money. The real business of life is to ask, who am I? And to understand oneself, one should understand the position of the living entity in this material world and understand how to return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Kumilandasya Jnananjana Salataya Chakshus Unmritam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this chapter, it's entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. So Prahlad Maharaj is actually giving us many, many instructions of how to become a perfect devotee. As you have seen in the previous chapters, Prahlad Maharaj is describing the Varnashram system, where how every one of us can fit into the system in a Vedic tradition so that we can come to a perfect conclusion. And what is a perfect conclusion? Prabhupada mentions here in this purport, is know who we are. And once you understand who you are, then what to do is the next stage. And of course, Prabhupada says the next stage is to go back home, back to Godhead. So actually, that is our real business. Other than that, there is no other business we should be conducting. So we hear this all the time. From the scriptures, there are many citations from different Puranas about the purpose and goal of a human life. But then when it comes to actual practical activities, we are always engrossed in trying to get more. Even as devotees, we think try to get more and more and more. We are never satisfied. Why? Because we are still acting on a bodily platform, thinking this body is myself, and therefore I need to do whatever is required to make the body comfortable. So we do so many things to make the body comfortable. But here, Prahlad Maharaj is very clearly instructing that to be a perfect person is to understand one's real self. So even a rich man who has accumulated so much wealth, he's fearful that he will lose his money. In fact, Prabhupada one time made a statement saying, so many of these so-called super rich people who have invested millions and millions of pounds, dollars, euros in stock market, every night when they go to sleep, they try to sleep, but they cannot get to sleep because they're thinking, what will happen to the market? Now, you know, if you're living here in England, the market opens at 9 o'clock in the morning and stock market is open for business. And people are buying shares, selling shares, and the conductor is going on till 5 in the evening. And at 5 in the evening, when that inevitable bell rings, all business is closed. So we think, oh, we are safe. In the morning, I was investing money. By 5 o'clock in the evening, I've done a great deal. I've invested money, and my money is now doubled or tripled. I'm quite a happy man. So obviously, we would think, one would be very happy if you've doubled or tripled your money. by the end of the evening when the market closes. But in reality, market doesn't work like that, because one market closes, another market opens, because the trading is going on 24 hours a day all over the world. So someone who is in America thinking it's midnight, I'll go and take rest now, but the market in Japan has just opened. And because of some natural disaster or some war declared by some country, or oil prices have all of a sudden doubled because of greed, the market starts falling apart. And before you know, in the morning you wake up, all your money is gone. So Prabhupada is saying that we are always in fear. But at the end of the day, if you analyze what is your basic requirement, you need a little food. And how much food do you need? That depends on how much hard work you do. If you are really a hard labor worker, then you need so many calories to burn away, to energize your body. So you need a lot of food. If you are an office worker, you know, sitting 9 to 5 at your chair with your computer and lifting phone every so often, you know, just the most exercise you're going to do, then it's not going to burn many calories. So you don't really need a lot of food. So what happens is the Kali Yuga disease, is that those who have plenty, they become obese. And because of obeseness, so many diseases come. And those who are unfortunate, had no access to so much wealth, then they are poverty-stricken. And due to poverty, they don't have food. So again, they are diseased. So either way, you're not a happy person. If you have too much, you're not a happy person. If you have too little, you're not a happy person. But in a Vedic culture, Prabhupada says that we arrange the society in such a way that everybody is provided with a basic requirement. So when this basic requirement is there, then there is no anxiety. Then you can come down to your real business. And the real business is to serve the Supreme Lord. So as Prabhupada says in this purport, that our real business is to know who I am. And once you know who you are, then you will have understanding that I am a spirit soul. And what is a spirit soul's business? Spirit soul's business is to connect with the Supreme. And how do you connect with the Supreme? It's through the devotional service. So this all knowledge is there. But unfortunately, we cannot put this into practice, because we are so much conditioned for many, many lifetimes. And as this Prabhupada is mentioning, that because the spirit soul is been engaged so much, it's Krishna calling. Krishna Priya calling. In general, Krishna Priya only calls me when there is emergency, because this phone only rings when there is emergency. Anyway, I'll speak to him afterwards. Someone is dying. So the point is that Prabhupada is explaining to us, what is our requirement. But we go beyond. So we go beyond our requirement, and we are always pursuing for so much more. Just in the previous verses, Prabhupada was saying, what is our business in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, our business in Krishna consciousness is to become Krishna conscious and make others Krishna conscious. And this is the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, our only business is to speak about Krishna. So if we analyze ourselves, that somehow, by the mercy of the Lord, we have come to Krishna consciousness. And we have got access to the knowledge of beautiful pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's glories. But then when we meet people, do we talk about Krishna? Even amongst devotees, when a devotee meets another devotee, what is our conversation? Anything but Krishna. We do not talk about Krishna. But if we are lovers of Krishna, we understand Krishna, then you'll be eager to talk about Krishna. Why? Because you can never get tired of talking about Krishna. Something something wonderful happens to you. Some good news comes to you. What do you do? Do you just go in a quiet corner and just be in ecstasy to yourself? No. You are eager to spread that word to everyone. You get onto your phone, you go and meet this person, that person, your best friends, and say, wow, I just received wonderful news. So you go and spread the word. But someone gives you a sad news. And it's so painful. you lock yourself in a room. Because you don't want to share, because it is the cause of pain to you. And that which causes pain to you, you don't want to share with others. But that which brings pleasure to you, you want to share with others. So Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna consciousness, once you come to Krishna consciousness, you connect with the Supreme Lord, you hear beautiful pastimes of the Lord, which is supposed to bring you immense pleasure. And when you get pleasure by hearing Krishna's pastimes, what do? You go and share it with others. But we don't do that. Why? Because we are so conditioned that we understand on an intellectual level the pastimes of Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In theory, we understand what we're supposed to do. But in practice, we cannot put it in practical terms because of our conditioning. And what is our conditioning? Our conditioning is that for many, many lifetimes, we begin to associate with the body, and we think this body is all in all. And therefore, we do all activities pertaining to the body and nothing else. You know, although when we come to Krishna consciousness, we begin to practice the process of devotional service, still, we are more concerned for the bodily needs other than the Supreme. You know, in one purport of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that if you simply depend on Krishna, you surrender yourself to Krishna and serve Him, then all your material needs will be taken care of. Now, what is our material needs? A roof over our head, some clothing to cover the body, and some food for sustenance. These are our material needs. These are not spiritual needs. So these material needs, Prabhupada says, will be taken care of. Therefore, there is no anxiety. So some of us, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are living in the ashram. You know, those who are grihasthas who are living outside may have little difficulty, but those who are living in the ashram is providing them with shelter. They're providing with clothing. They're providing with prasadam. Now, once clothing is taken care of, once prasadam is taken care of, once accommodation is taken care of, what is the anxiety? Why are devotees so much in anxiety? And why are devotees so eager to leave this wonderful shelter? Because they still don't feel comfortable with this understanding that my basic requirement is provided for by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, I have no anxiety, I have no worries. All I have to do is engage in serving the Supreme Lord. But we don't do that. You see, I can give personal experience, my own experience, that in this temple, since I came way back in 1979, I moved into the temple. It was filled with almost 100 devotees. And we had a stronghold, 70 devotees of Sankirtan devotees going out on books every day. And it was buzzing. We didn't have many things. Of course, now we have luxury. We have the heating system is working first class. All the windows have window panes. And, you know, prasadam is abundance of different varieties. Everything is there. But when we joined, what we had? We had no heating system. Our only boiler was down in the cellar, which was always flooded, so we could not use that. The window panes were broken. There's ice cold wind coming through in the winter months. The shower was just a copper pipe with a little water coming out, and it was just chilled water. There's no choice of setting the temperature gauge to according to your bodily comfort. All this was there. Basic things. The devotees were happy, but then something was not right for them. They decided to leave. So over the years, I've seen so many devotees have joined and moved into the ashram and then moved out. Why are they moving out? Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so perfect. Krishna is so beautiful. Radha Gokulananda is still the same Radha Gokulananda which Prabhupada invited in 1973. And he hasn't changed. He's still smiling there. He's still giving you his audience. He's still giving you blessings. Still giving you opportunity to serve him. But we come, we do little service, and then we again move away. Why is there need to move away from Krishna? Because we are so conditioned, thinking there must be something better. Just like in this verse, Prabhupada said, even if you accumulate millions and millions of dollars, you still won't be happy. But we don't take it as a first-hand experience. Prabhupada said, a first-class person would understand immediately through knowledge that it is wrong to do this because that will bring you suffering, you abstain from it. Second class person will say, well, it's okay, it's fine, but let me try it out just in case, you know, it might work out. But we all know that no matter how hard you try in this material world, it will always fail. Whatever you do, you will fail. Because this material world is a place of not success or happiness. It's dukkhalaya. It is a place of misery. So it's always going to bring unhappiness to you. The only time you are going to be very happy is when you're fully dependent on Krishna. And when everything is provided for you by Krishna's grace, still we are not happy. So what is that which is preventing us from being free from this anxiety? Because prasadam is provided, clothing is provided, shelter is provided. What is that which is lacking? The lacking is that deep inside, in the core of the heart, we still feel that this is okay, but there must be something else. And that is why we are looking around. So, you know, this conditioning is such that it has to be, you know, we have to become freed from this conditioning. And that can only be done when we are fully in association with spiritual environment. And when we are in full spiritual environment, then automatically you'll be influenced by the spiritual environment. Just like Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that the nature of the soul is the marginal potency of the Lord. At the same time, it is part and parcel of the Lord. And because it's part and parcel of the Lord, you have the same qualities of Satchitananda, eternity full of knowledge and bliss. Same time, Prabhupada is mentioning that the marginal potency is such that according to whichever condition we are placed in, we'll begin to associate with that and be part of that, feeling that that is what we are. So if the spirit soul is influenced by the three modes of material nature, material environment, then it's going to act like that. And if it's in the spiritual realm, then it's going to act spiritual. I give this example of an everyday object which we come in contact with. Is water. Water, everybody sees every day. We drink water, we use water for cooking, we take water for bathing. So water is a commodity which everybody is familiar with. So we all know that water in its natural state is liquid. So water remains liquid when it's in its natural state. But as soon as that condition changes, what happens to that water? It changes. It behaves differently. When the water becomes high temperature, then that water which is liquidy becomes gaseous, steam. But scientifically speaking, it is still H2O. Chemically, it hasn't changed. But in form, it has changed. So the steam, which is gaseous, acts differently. Now, you know, if you look at the sky, it's full of clouds. And all the clouds are basically small droplets or gaseous form of water. But it behaves differently. It floats in the air. And it doesn't, you know, practically doesn't wet anything so much. And the whole behavior is different. Because the condition has changed. The atmosphere has changed. And then the same water, if you go to the other extreme and cool it, it becomes rock hard. So when water becomes ice, it's like rock hard substance. So it's completely different in nature. But it's still the same water. Chemically, again, it hasn't changed. But according to the condition and environment, it changes its form and shape. And it behaves like that. Like if it's a solid ice block, it's not going to be liquidy. It's not going to wet anything. It's going to be acting like a rock. So the characteristic of ice is solid. Characteristic of steam is gaseous. And then when it comes in the natural state, it's liquid. So this analogy we can use to understand the soul. The soul in the natural state is Sachit Ananda. It's quite happily situated. But when it goes off track to one extreme, it behaves differently. When it goes to the other extreme, it behaves differently. So when the soul is in the material environment, it begins to think, I am this body, and therefore I have to do whatever is required to satisfy the body. And what is the body's requirement? This is just a lump of flesh. But within this body, there are the senses, the five senses. Then the five senses is what is requiring service. You know, eyes need to see, ears need to hear, the mouth and the tongue need to either speak or taste, smell. So all these senses require serving. But the soul doesn't need this. If you read the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the soul is not affected by any of this. But the body is. And the soul, because it's associating with the body and the material body, is thinking, this body is me. Then we do everything which is pertaining to the body. And when we do everything which is pertaining to the body, then it brings suffering. Because this body is a place of suffering. No matter what we say, that this body is very strong and very healthy, and I'm young and full of energy, any moment, suffering can come. So, you know, suffering doesn't have a particular time. It doesn't come with pre-warning. It just comes. At the most unexpected, most opportune moment, it will come and knock on your door. And you don't have an option to say, no, thank you, not today. You know, a salesman comes and knocks on your door, say, I'm selling this new product. Say, no, thank you. You can tell him no. Sometimes they make phone calls and tell, you know, the salesperson is going to sell you their latest insurance policy. And you can just say, no, thank you. And just hang up. But when pain comes, suffering comes, there's no option. You cannot say, no, thank you. You have to accept it. And why is this pain coming to us? It's because we are living our lives separate from Krishna. And when you are separate from Krishna, then Krishna says, whatever you want, I will make all arrangements for you. Everything will be at your disposal. But the consequence of that, you have to pay for it. So sometimes in this material world, we feel some kind of, you know, sense objects are there. We feel some pleasure. And other times, pain. But even the cause of pain, the cause of pleasure, which some material object may bring to you, will be the cause of your pain and suffering. It's not that there is only pleasure. Because for every pleasure there is going to be suffering. Because at the end of the day, suffering is going to accompany that material pleasure. But spiritual pleasure is beyond, is not touched by material condition. So, for example, there's a festivities going on, and the kitchen staff is making huge, humongous feast of different varieties of palatable foodstuffs, sweet, savory, sour, liquidy, solid, dry, so many different preparations. And you're sitting there, you know, and there's a plate full of the saram, and you just go to yourself, eat, you know. You say, wow, it's feast, it's festival, let's enjoy. And then you eat, and you eat, and you eat. And you're enjoying because, you know, you're getting all these different flavors which is enticing your tongue and it's bringing pleasure to you. But at some point, when you overdo it, then what happens? You end up with a stomachache and pain. So that which was cause of your happiness and pleasure is now turned into suffering. So, like that, every aspect in the material world, whatever the cause of your happiness may be, will be the cause of your suffering. And the suffering which comes after will be far greater in proportion than the pleasure you receive. Because the suffering is tremendous. The pain is unbelievable. So, one has to actually learn from these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not just some philosophical presentation, some pastimes, some stories. It is actually a lesson which is taught to us how to become perfect in our lives. And therefore, this particular chapter is also entitled, A Behavior of a Perfect Person. Now, who is a perfect person? In previous chapter, Prabhupada is giving a description. A perfect person is that person who understands his position is to be freed from this material world and devote himself fully to Krishna. That's a perfect person. In other words, Prabhupada says, Vedic culture was based on how to make every individual perfect. So we are sometimes, in our eagerness to present Krishna consciousness, we try to create a so-called pseudo-Vedic culture, thinking, you know, this is going to bring happiness and a pleasure, and we will become perfect. But we do not become perfect. Because a perfect gentleman, Prabhupada says, he is always concerned for the well-being of others. A Vaishnava is considered a perfect person. Why? Because he has full Vaishnava qualities in him. And what is that qualities in a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava's quality is para-dukha-dukhi, that he feels pain when he sees others suffering. And then not just feels pain, but after feeling that pain, he will not just sit and say, oh, this terrible world, you know, Kali Yuga, material world, such a terrible place. No, he goes about how to relieve that person from pain. We saw that example in Srila Prabhupada. Purport Prabhupada is saying that I was quite happy sitting in Vrindavan at the shelter of Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada had a nice small room, nothing fancy. Even if today we go and see his rooms, it's not exactly five-star luxurious apartment. It's a very simple accommodation. But Prabhupada is saying, I was very happy going out selling my Back to God magazine, and I was making just sufficient money from that to sustain myself and print more books. And by printing more of those Back to God magazines, Prabhupada was doing his business of Jare Dekho Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. So Prabhupada was quite happy. But as a Vaishnava, he was not content with that. Because he's seeing that I am only relieving a handful of people here. There's a whole world out there who's suffering. So then Prabhupada is going out of his way to put up all kinds of difficulties and austerities simply to spread the message of Krishna consciousness. And then he establishes the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And through the Society of Krishna Consciousness, he is allowing everybody to come in contact with Krishna consciousness and therefore be freed from the suffering and delusion of material life. Now, Prabhupada, in one purport, is saying, it is not a business of a sannyasi to go and open temples. Why is the curtains closing? So, Prabhupada is saying that it is not a business of a sannyasi, because in this particular chapter leading to the conclusion, the final chapter, Prabhupada is saying, in the Varnasana system is sannyas. And then Prabhupada is talking about sannyas, and he's saying sannyas means you're completely free from all these things and simply chant the holy names of the Lord. That's your business, nothing else. And tell others to chant. But Prabhupada is saying the purport, it is not a business of a sannyasi to go and open temples and mutts. Now, on the other hand, we see Prabhupada contradicting himself. He's saying it's not a business of a sannyasi to go and open temples. And he's opening temples. So how do we take this? The Prabhupada said that for promoting Krishna consciousness, we need to open temples. But it is not the business of a sannyasi to open a temple, but what is required, he does it. And saying, if that allows us to spread Krishna consciousness to the masses, then that is what we have to do. That is what Prabhupada always said, do the needful. So if that the need of the hour is required, then you do that. So it is not going against the principle of sannyas. But on the contrary, it is enhancing the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jare Dekho Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh, that you go everywhere and give opportunity to everyone to hear about Krishna and take to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is actually explaining how to do this. Then again, Prabhupada is saying, now, you know, most managers would not like this, but this is a fact of life, this is what Prabhupada is saying, that when we get money, the money is coming is not because of our efforts, but Krishna is sending this money. And when Krishna sends money, what is our business? Prabhupada says, 50% print books, 50% for maintaining and expanding. This is the formula. So if we look at our analysis of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness worldwide, and all the funds which we are getting, are we putting 50% in books? I think we will fail in that one. So if we want to correct ourselves from this illusion of pseudo-Krishna conscious practice, we have to simply follow the instructions of Prabhupada. And if you simply follow the instructions of Prabhupada, all success will 100% be there. Why? Because this is the order of a pure devotee of the Lord. It is not of someone who is conditioned person, making decisions and giving instructions. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. He is invested by the Supreme Lord in the power of spreading Krishna consciousness. Now, Prabhupada is a Shaktivesh avatar. He is a direct expansion, in one sense you can say, of the energy of the Lord invested in Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness. So when Prabhupada makes a statement, he is not making some frivolous statement. He is actually making a statement which is going to promote the mission of Krishna consciousness and allow us also to be free from this illusion. And 50%, Prabhupada says, we spend for maintenance. Now, what is the maintenance? Not our personal maintenance. No. For that, by the mercy of the Lord, you, as I said, you get clothing, you get food, and you get shelter. So that your basic requirement is already provided by the Lord. So we create facilities where more and more people will be exposed to Krishna consciousness. More and more people can take shelter of Krishna consciousness. That is the bottom line. So, to become perfect in our Krishna consciousness, we simply have to adhere to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And if we follow these instructions to the letter, all success will come without fail. Otherwise, all our endeavors will fail. Because we may try with all kind of fanciful ideas. But if we do not use whatever is at our disposal for spreading Krishna consciousness, then we will fail. And Prabhupada's formula is perfect. It will work in any time. Because I hear sometimes some devotees say, well, in the 60s it was a different environment, there was a hippie culture and things were different, so things, you know, worked out. But now we are, you know, moved on, things have changed, so that formula will not work. That formula which Prabhupada has given will work any time, any place. Because it is not a time-place-bound formula. It is an eternal formula of spreading Krishna consciousness. So, if we want to become perfect in ourselves, and as the Prabhupada says here, in the last line of this purport, that our only business is to go home, back to Godhead, then we simply have to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and the direction which Prabhupada has given us, then there is no question of failure. Success is always going to be there. Now, success will be there in terms of how Krishna wants to give you success, not in how you and I see success. Because we also have our own ideas of what is success in Krishna consciousness. So we have to abandon that. We don't have to go with preconceived idea of what is my idea of success in Krishna consciousness. Simply let Krishna do what he wants to do. We simply have to be an instrument in his hand to fulfill the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and let's just go and preach the message of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes I make a sort of statement which may not be appealing to all, but we don't need to go far afield to spread Krishna consciousness. You just have to do it on your doorstep. Now somehow here, by Krishna's mercy, hundreds of people are coming here. Hundreds of people are coming here. And since so many people are coming here, are we utilizing that opportunity to approach them and convince them that the highest goal is to take to chanting of the holy names of the Lord? We may give a class in the temple room, and as we can see, the temple room is limited. So only a limited number of people can sit here and hear your class. But then there's hundreds of people out there wondering. And we think, wow, it's a very nice place. Families are coming here, and huge numbers are coming. In the front lawn, they come with their little football or with a little cricket bat, and they're playing games. And it's very nice and very jolly, very, very nice atmosphere. They come here, and they're going with a nice experience or an outing. That is not Krishna consciousness. You have to think. All these people are coming. They're coming to Krishna. Krishna is attracting them. Now, isn't it our business as the servants of Krishna to give them a Krishna conscious experience, that when they leave from here, they actually take Krishna in their heart. And the next time they come, they feel a bit more attracted to Krishna and to serve Krishna and to surrender to Krishna. Because ultimately, if you are coming to the temple for years and years and years, but you do not surrender to Krishna, then what is the value of coming? It is just satisfying the heart and the mind. Yes, I did my dharma. I went to temple, bowed down, put a little money in the donation box, and did my business. That is not our business. Our business is to become Krishna conscious. And Krishna conscious, of course, means that you fully surrender to the process and get out of this material world. Not that you do anything that is going to bring you back. So even as devotees, we have to be very mindful that our business is to get out of this material world as soon as possible, not prolong. Now, if by some Krishna's causeless mercy, if you become pure devotee today, this moment, Krishna will say, okay, time's up. You know, you have done your bit, let's come back home. Krishna is going to, since you are a pure devotee now, just hang on in the material world longer and suffer. No. Unless, of course, Krishna wants to use you for greater things, then he'll give you the facilities to do greater things. And by doing that, you will have an impact. Just that's like in the case of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, wherever he went, had impact. He touched people's hearts. And people were melted. And they would be attracted to Krishna consciousness. Now, I also travel. I go to places. But I don't have that impact. So sometimes I actually think, is it worth me traveling? Because I'm not having any impact on anyone. So better I sit down in one place and perfect myself. And if my heart is pure and my motives are pure, then maybe I'll have impact on someone. But Prabhupada, he had impact. Wherever he went, people were melting. So it is our business that we become perfect in our Krishna conscious practice and then give others Krishna. And it's not that we will be giving others Krishna. It is Krishna using you as an instrument to give others Krishna. Because only Krishna can give Krishna to someone. You cannot give Krishna. Because you don't have Krishna, how you can give someone Krishna? So the bottom line is that we have to become very serious. And all these pages, especially these particular chapters, last three or four chapters, which is teaching us the basic principle of how to live our lives in a Krishna conscious way. And we have to adhere to it. Sometimes, some things are very, very tough to do. I may not like it, but we have to do it because that is the process. If we do not follow the process, then you won't have success. So success only comes when we only follow to the letter, and then all success will come. So I'll stop because we have gone past our time. Thank you very much for allowing me to share some of my thoughts. Hare Krishna.